In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Farm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
And we'll talk about today the master key. Say the master key. And this is part three. It's a simple one-word subtopic today, and that word is diligence. Say diligence. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 reads, "Therefore, brethren, even be more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." Now, the things he speaks of are verses from verse 1 and following down to verse 10. So read that. But doing the things that are in the word, he says, be diligent to do these things to make your call and election sure. Verse 11, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now get what he's saying here. When we are diligent to be doers of God's word and locked into God's word, the Bible says you will never stumble. You hear that? Amen? Amen? You hearing? Amen. Sometimes people make excuses for coming short, making mistakes. The devil was with me all last night, whatever, you know. But the Bible says if we are diligent to be sure about our call and our election, our salvation, if you do the things that God said, you'll never stumble. And then he says, verse 11, to me is always a curious scripture, "For an entrance will be supplied to you into the everlasting kingdom." What does that mean? To me, it's always sounded like this. You go into a building, and most buildings have between the outdoors and the main foyer is like this entrance, this breezeway, this area that if there's two doors there, it helps to keep the heat in or cold out, whatever. So heaven, here it is, God gives you some heaven to go to heaven in. That's what I'm saying. So when you follow God and do his word, even while on the earth, he gives you an entrance. You have an entrance, or if you will, heaven to go to heaven in. Now, we aren't in heaven yet. We know that for sure. But you can live in a blessing and a favor of God right here in this present time. Amen? In this present evil time, you can live in the peace and the provisions of God. Hallelujah. Next scripture is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Wow, say diligence. Now, God's saying some things to us today in no uncertain terms. I think that it looked like we take God's word as suggestions. We take it under advisement. I hear you, Pastor, but let me go pray about that. No, you're not going to pray about Scripture. You pray about getting yourself together, but you don't pray about what God said. So it's important for us to recognize what the Lord is saying on today and through his word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Now, here's a text that's on the title slide. If you can see that, it's pretty small. If you can see it, read with me. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Wow. Impossible is a strong word. We don't use that word often. So if something is impossible, I got to pay attention to that and not fall into that. For example, if I have a cold, we all have common cold sometime. If I have a common cold, I'm going to say, "Lord, thank you for my healing. I believe I'm healed." I'll take some medicine, some aspirin, rest, orange juice, liquids, all that. But because I believe this cold is going to leave me soon, I have faith. Even that the small thing of a cold, I'm trusting God to lift it off my life. So when the cold comes, I'm not saying stuff like, "Oh man, I hope it's not the flu. Oh, I hope it's not arthritis." Folk connect everything together, right? Hope is not stress. Is it stress? And so people can take one condition and draw it out in other conditions. Now, that's an absurd example. I'm making a point, though. It, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatever your circumstance, you got to show God some faith. You may hurt. You will hurt. But don't let that change your confession about what God is doing in your circumstance. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That is, he is everything he said he is. He can do all that God said he could do. He is. Not trying to be. Your friend's trying to be. You trying to be something. But God is.
Amen.
Say God is.
God is.
And a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, definition of diligence. The word means steady application in business or say any kind of work, constant effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. Number two, a diligent person sees what needs to be done and should say does it until they get and do it until they get the desired result. Number three, marked by careful attention or persistent application. Number four, persevering determination to perform a task. Now, we know all these words. We know what diligence is. But do we live what diligence is? Diligence is more than a definition in a dictionary. It is designed to be a feature and a characteristic of our lives, that we are to be diligent by nature. Say, by nature. And by choice, because the Bible puts a lot of meaning and a lot of significance on that word. Next definition from the Vines Dictionary, Bible Dictionary, is defined as, diligence is defined as a working. It's indicative of a process. All right. So the Bible word is a working, which fits with the Webster Dictionary definition. Again, all these definitions, we know what it means. We know what this is. But knowing something, here it is, we don't know what we don't do. So you can say, I know the word diligence. Well, yeah, you say, but if you don't do it, you don't know it. You only really know what you're actually doing. Amen. Everything else is in our head, is head knowledge. That's the place to start. But we only know what we're actually doing. And that's the challenge we had before. So faith without works is what?
Dead.
It's dead. Now, first master key is this. For believers in Christ, diligence is not simply works. It is an extension of God's grace in action. Say that. Say, for believers in Christ, diligence is not simply works. It is an extension of God's grace in action. Now, in the Christian faith, we are saved by faith, not by works. We don't put works ahead of faith. We do not work for salvation. We do not become righteous by works. So works is man's effort. But the difference is this. When your works follow what God said, when your works follow God's command, when you're working based on what God said, that's grace in action. You follow me? So it's one thing to say, well, I go to church every Sunday, and I must be a Christian because I go to church every Sunday, and I give my offerings and tithes. Well, that's just works now. Don't put that ahead of Jesus. People can do this and not, people go to church and not be saved.
That's right.
And there are people in church who are not even saved, all right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're putting works ahead of grace. So that when we're operating in grace, then the diligence, the things we do through diligence, is an extension of God's grace in action. Very important distinction. We don't believe in legalism. I'm going to say to you things we must do, but when I say to us from the Bible, what you must do this, do that, is not doing anything apart from the grace of God. So whatever God requires, he provides.
Yeah.
Amen? That's much different than someone on their own doing a bunch of stuff and saying, because of that, I'm saved. No, it's wrong. People say sometimes, you know, I'm a prophet. Why? I hear from God. Man, we all hear from God.
Amen. That's
I'll make you a prophet. I'm a photographer. Why? I got a camera. That'll make you a photographer. Right? Come on, somebody. Take that thing out of automatic mode and you lost. You can't focus. You can't get nothing right without automatic. So then, master key, again, for believers in Christ, diligence is not simply works. It is an extension of God's grace in action. Now, Joyce Meyer said this. Here's an excellent online booklet on diligence I read. She says this: we see many people who come to work in ministry, quote unquote, fail to realize that they will have to change in order to have the privilege of working for God. Now that should seem obvious, but sometimes Christians don't understand when you take an assignment in ministry, whether it's fivefold ministry or lay ministry, you got to change to do ministry. You've got to change to be able to serve and work for God, because your current lifestyle is not going to fit in serving God, because there's too many things that God wants that get in that conflict with what you want. Come on, somebody. It's quiet up here. Y'all all right? Come on now. Come on here. There's too many things that you want to do that go right up against what God wants to do. And if you don't change, you'll never get around doing what God wants you to do. The way he wants it done, I'm saying. Proverbs 13, chapter 13, verse 4 says this. It says, the soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. The old saying is, talk is cheap. People sometimes talk about what they want, what they're going to do, what they're going to do, all this, they're going to talk all this stuff. But because they're lazy, which is non-diligence, not, you know, lazy is non-diligent, then they desire and have nothing. Because without diligence, there's no way forward. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Now listen, this context, not just talking about rich like have money, but it's rich as in being fully supplied. There's a richness you got to have in your soul before anything happens in the natural. Rich in your mind, rich in your will, rich in your emotions. There's a wealth you should have on the inside of you. And that produces all the stuff outside of you. If you're diligent on the inside and with God, the things of God, then that brings a richness to your soul, the overflow of which is success in this world. Master key. It takes diligence to succeed in a process that involves you. It's pretty obvious, but really think about that. If something that you're involved in, you got in there for a certain reason, you took that job or got into that training or whatever you're doing, you got into that thing thinking that that thing would make you. But no, it takes diligence to succeed in a process that involves you. So if you sign up for something, what you got to do? You got to go to class every day, read everything, take all the tests. Students sometimes miss that. Well, they're in school. And what kind of grades you got? Well, I got a C. I got a D. And this kind of stuff. Why you got a D for? Why you got a C? What's wrong with you? It's hard. Nothing about grade school and high school is hard. What did I say? Not even the first 2 years of college is hard. The third year is hard. Say amen, Galen, back there. Third year. Now your brain's on. See his hair standing up straight? See, this is brain on fire, okay? I'm not diminishing the challenge. I'm just saying your mindset has to change. Change your mindset. Because when we call a student smart, what we're saying is that's a diligent student. Now, there is some giftedness in kids. I know that. But every child can succeed well in school by just being diligent. Diligence alone. If you can read and write and have no organic, no mental issue, you can do very well in school by sheer diligence. And plus, if you're not one of those gifted, talented type students, you got to really be diligent to get through. I took Spanish, you know my story, and went back to school, took Spanish. I'm going to learn some Spanish, and I'm going back at 40 years old, learning Spanish. And I got into the class and found out after I got the class that your language center, your brain is all done by 16 years of age, all right? So where you learn language is, that part of your brain is over, is done growing by 16. That is, you can still learn language, but it won't be easy. It's easier to learn languages when you're younger. Because your brain get all set up in, like, you know, Spanish on the outside. Here's the point, though. So I'm in this class, and I'm frustrated by all these young folk around me who just pick everything up, having conversations in Spanish the second day. Like, what's wrong with you people? And I'm struggling and struggling to get it. So my point is, I got it. I had to be way more diligent than those young folks in there. They were diligent. But I had to go over and over five times. Two times is good enough for them. For me, 5 to 10, 20 times before I got it. You follow me? But I got it because it's about what? Diligence. And you might need to practice more diligence in one area or another. But don't just give up and talk about, well, I just can't do it. Please don't go there. Don't lose the word can't from your vocabulary. I mean, obviously some things are obviously impossible, but don't have the mindset that going in or at the beginning of it, I don't know if I can make it. Bad mindset. All right. Everything in life is a process. That is the way God has arranged things. Say that. That is the way God has arranged things. Pregnancy and birth is a process. Growing up physically and spiritually is a process. Education and learning is a process. And your life is a process. A process. And a process looks like this today, that tomorrow, that the next day, and so forth and so on. It looks like when you're building something. My sons and I, years ago, we put a fence in, a privacy fence. And it's a process. You got to go buy the materials, get the post hole diggers, you got to dig the holes, you got to set the posts, you got to level the posts, got to pour the concrete in, secure the posts so it don't tilt while it's hardening the concrete, check the level again one last time, got to bring the panels over. You got to put the panels up, screw the panels in, you got to cut off the top pieces. I mean, it's a process. It's a process, and there is no fence going to be built without a process. Again, I'm saying obvious things to us here. But we act like, as Christians, stuff just jump out, you know. You know, it's ironic who thought that. Aaron thought that. When he talked about when they went up and Moses went up to the mountain to hear from God. They were down there fooling around and fell off into all kind of foolishness and sin. And they built a golden calf. Aaron collected the gold and built a golden calf to worship because the man who was to lead them to God was gone. And so they thought, hey, we got to worship something here. So they began to worship this calf. And so when God came back and asked them, what are you all doing? Aaron said, well, he's just over here, this calf came out. Like, there's no process. Like there was no process where you lost your mind, and that led to this, and that led to that. Like, it just happened. Right? Folk mess up, get in trouble, get in sin, act like, I don't know what happened. Now, see, some things are mistakes. So then, we don't want to let circumstances then cause us to miss our place of diligence. Say diligence. Diligence. We are called to be diligent. We are called to do the will of God. We're called to be people committed to process so God can finish what he starts. Amen? Amen. And really, you know what? It isn't up to God. It's up to us. God starts it. He will finish it, but we then commit to the process to go from this point to that point. Can you say amen to that? Amen. All right. Look at Exodus 15. Exodus 15, 26. If you can see that, read with me, please. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, this, by the way, is the first time the word diligence is mentioned in the Bible. So it's a very crucial moment, because whenever the Lord gives you insight through the first mention of something, usually it's special. So notice that the emphasis is, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God. Hear that, please. Diligently heed. Because, let me give you the master key real quick. The master key is this. God didn't say only heed. He said diligently heed. Say that. God didn't say only heed. He said diligently heed. That is, when we hear something, we get an instruction from God. That's heeding. You hear it. All right, you hear it. And so when you heed, then God got your attention. And when God gets our attention, he can do something good with us. But he didn't say just heed. He said to heed in what way? Diligently. Now, what's the use of that word in grammar? Is that an adjective or adverb? Adverb, what is it? Diligently? Say again? Adverb, thank you. So it modifies the verb, right? So he said to diligently heed. Now listen, one part of me wants to stand here and say for an hour straight, diligently heed, diligently heed. Because I'm telling you what messes people up. I'm telling you where people miss it, where I missed it. We all heed. Everybody can heed in a minute, heed in a moment, heed on that one day. But can we then be diligent in heeding? And because that process for obeying God, that's the process for obeying God. This diligence, it's the only way forward, people of God. It's the only way forward, to diligently heed. And that's why, even though we read the scripture, we've read it for years and years, I wish there was some way I could lift it up and make it more important to you than you realize it is, because it certainly is the way forward. It is the reason why we struggle in life. We struggle as a church sometimes. I mean, it's not God. It's not God lacking any power. God doesn't lack any ability. There's no lack of grace. All the problems are on earth, and there are no problems in heaven. Amen, somebody? None of my problems are in heaven. All my problems are on earth, and more specifically, my problems wear a size 12 triple E shoe. I mean, I look all around for the problem, and that person in the mirror keep looking back at me like, what you looking at? Don't you know who it is? It's you. No, it's the devil. The devil's around the world somewhere doing something. He don't care about you. People give the devil too much credit. Like I always tell you, it's like when I played basketball, if you played ball with somebody who played real poorly, you don't check that person. You don't put nobody, don't defend the person who can't hold the ball, who double dribbles, who travels and can't stay in bounds. Don't check him. He's self-checking. So all us self-checking people, devil ain't worried about you. We're doing his work for him. Now, being facetious, obviously, I'm making a point, though. When God said to diligently heed, those are very carefully chosen words that are a point of release and a master key for us in our lives and everything in life. How many problems can we attest to having with our cars and our finances and relationships and such, because we just were not diligently heeding something? We were not being diligent, and it showed up later. Now, here are three scriptures to confirm the necessity of diligence. Proverbs 10 verse 4 says, he who deals with a slack hand becomes poor, But the hand of the diligent makes one rich. That's plain, isn't it? Slack hand, meaning you don't handle business the correct way. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. Already read this one. And the soul of the diligent should be made rich. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. You know, haste is sometimes the excuse that we make for not being diligent. I don't have time for the process. So I'm going to do this now. I'm going to do this now this way because I have no patience. I'm not willing to wait or submit to a process. So I'm going to just jump out and go at it. And the Bible says that leads to poverty. Haste makes waste, the saying is, and it's still true today. Next master key. Diligence is one of the key components of leadership. Romans chapter 12, verse 8 says, following a list of attributes, a list of things to do, he says, or a list of characteristics of leaders, he says, and he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So he gives the actual grace gift of exhortation or giving or leading a mercy, but he qualifies each one. And a qualification for leaders is to be what? Diligent. Diligent. So if you're going to lead something, lead in anything, we're going to have to be diligent. Say diligent. Master key. Next master key. Now, repentance then produces a new level of motivation and diligence. You know, sometimes we're making mistakes. We've messed up, we've sinned and gone the wrong way. And in fact, the next text I'm going to share with you from 2 Corinthians, we'll talk about that. But when we have really messed things up, I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's school, work, relationships. We've made a mess of things, made mistakes. Then we need to do something called repent. Now, that little two-syllable word, repent, is a loaded word. Say repent. Now, don't take it religiously, like someone, repent, sinner, repent. It's not a phrase. It's an action. Amen. Repent means this. It means this. It means to turn around and face the other way. Turn around, face the other way. That's what it means. Go a different direction. Because, see, repentance just puts you in position for God to help you. Repentance by itself doesn't change you. It puts you in a place where God can then help you. For example, a person, let's say, who's caught up in, financial problems. They cannot figure out how to deal with their budget. They don't handle money poorly. They are having difficulty with these things. And so repentance for them would mean talk to a financial counselor. Just turn around. All right, stop staring at your mess that you cannot make better and turn and face somebody who can help you. You got that? See, repentance is, of course, it's from sin, but not only sin, it's also is turning from whatever conditions have created your problem. And it's then turning toward the answer. So what we are, when we're disobedient to God, divine energy is lacking. Here's the problem. The reason you have financial trouble, and I've been there, and you get in trouble, you don't handle things right, then you feel bad about it. And then, in addition to feeling bad about it, you begin to feel like, man, I'm just drained. My energy's all sapped. I just don't have no energy. I'm losing motivation. And it's hard to handle things now. Well, yeah, I see. Yeah, of course. Because you're wearing yourself out. We shared a scripture a few weeks ago from the Word that said, you know, if the axe is dull, you don't sharpen the edge, you must use more strength, right? So when we're using our own strength to do things that God would help us do, then we feel tired. We wake up tired. We are tired in our mind because we're trying to solve a problem we can't solve. If you messed it up, you can't fix it by yourself. I'm talking about myself too. So repentance then turns you to face. You turn away from the condition, you face the answer. And then what happens is, when God gets involved, he'll give you energy, he'll give you grace, he'll give you motivation to change. See, the thing about repentance is, it's not just feeling bad that I did what's wrong, I'm so sorry and all that. Yeah, that's a part of it. Once you make that turn, you invite God in, and God brings his spirit. He brings his power. He brings his energy, because what you need is God's strength now. You follow me? You need God's strength to get this thing done that you can't do by yourself. And yet, if you don't repent of the way you've been doing things, then you can never get the strength. It's like we're stuck. You know, we say we're stuck. Well, being stuck often exactly means just that. I'm caught up in this, that, or the other, and it's pulling me down, is sapping my energy, my motivation. Well, yeah, okay, well, turn from that. Repent, turn, and face God. And watch what he'll do in your life. And what he'll do is he'll give you grace to be diligent. Next master key. No, next scripture. This scripture talked about. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now this is the chapter or part of the text where Paul was addressing a problem in the Corinthian church. They had a really big problem. I mean, one guy was doing it, but they all had a problem because they knew he did it and wouldn't deal with it. There was a man in the church who was having an affair with his father's wife. That's kind of messed up. And so Paul said, now, why haven't y'all dealt with this? It was kind of in the open, okay? You know, the people's secret sin is different, handling things different, but out in the open stuff, okay, that's out in the open. He says, separate yourself from the man. Don't cut him off totally, but separate him from the fellowship that he may be ashamed so that God can deal with him. In other words, stop approving of things that shouldn't be approved. Well, that happened and the man repented. So we come back and chapter 7 then gives us part of the answer. So verse 1 here says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, it's interesting, the stuff that people say God allows because they just want to feel like that. But a scripture like this kind of blows all that up. Because he says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. And that just, and it says perfecting holiness. So then, wow, that puts a burden on us to really seek God, because we can't do any of this without God. There is no cleansing yourself. There is no becoming holy in all this without the grace and the power of God and the spirit of diligence, because the stuff that drags us down are from bad habits, and habits, by definition, is diligence. Habits are formed by diligence in something, good or bad. Now, go on here. Verse 11, chapter 7. So now he's talking about the person they dealt with, all right? 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 11. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all these things, prove yourself to be clear in this matter. Read around it, you'll find out he was talking about, now that y'all have gotten right with God and this man has gotten right with God, what Paul said was, when we get right with God, look what happens. He says, what diligence it produced in you. See, when you don't serve God, when we don't serve God, it's because something in us is preventing that and not God. It's something in us, something out of order in us that prevents us from serving God, giving to God, giving whatever. I mean, because, you know, if you're a Christian, there's no reason why we wouldn't serve God. But if we have stuff in us that doesn't belong in us or around us, those things sap our energy. They take our motivation away. But repentance and diligence toward God, he says, it actually produces more diligence in you. See that? When you sorrow in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. Isn't that something? What indignation. All that stuff is gone. What fear. What vehement desire. What zeal. What vindication. I mean, man, God brings back restoration of all the right attitudes and motivations when we follow him, repent, turn to him, and do what he says to do. In all these things, you prove yourself to be clear in this matter. Sometimes we got to get clear in matters. Sometimes we're off into stuff that's not right. I don't mean evil, but just not right, not ethical. You know, a lot of examples come to mind. I won't go there. But there's stuff that we're allowing, and that stuff is confusing us and sapping our energy and taking our focus away. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. As you are abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. About the grace of giving, the context is giving. But in this statement, he noticed, he highlighted areas in which we should abound. We should abound in faith. We should abound in speech. Speech meaning, you know, positive speech, positive confession, wholesome speech. In knowledge, we abound in knowledge. We should know the right thing. And he says here, and in all diligence. Diligence is right there along with giving and faith and speech and in love. He said, and in your love for us. So notice he put diligence right there alongside heavyweight stuff like faith and love and knowledge. Now we all need faith, don't we? And we all need love. We all need wholesome speech. And somehow we don't think we need diligence. Well, I know we know we need it. But we act like it's optional. You know, one of the things about being an adult, maturity, the mark of maturity, I'll say, whether you're young or older, is that a mature person gets stuff done. And so that when a young person, 18 years old, 17 year old, is getting stuff done, we say, oh, he's mature. He has a mature mindset, right? Because we identify maturity as people who handle responsibility, who handle their business, who take care of people. And so that's what maturity, so then we want to be labeled by the same characteristics of Scripture. We want to be among those people that are classified as mature. We sometimes have children, you know, children, we allow children to be foolish because they're children, you know, kids. And we help them, you know, stop being so foolish, you know. And then, you know, kind of cut back on that, you know what I'm saying? As you get older, you cut back on the food, like people smoking cigarettes. I'm cutting back on cigarettes, whatever. But we want you, but still we allow a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, you know, but you get to be 13, 14 now. No, because in 5 years, you're going to be grown almost. And, you know, so point is, you can't allow yourself to be silly at 14, 15 years old, because what that means is you're going to be a silly man or a silly woman, because silly don't stop by itself. I'm a witness now. I lived it. I'm not talking about anybody. I got saved at 21. I was silly until I was 21 years old. I was silly. Grown man silly until I got saved. Knew better. Was raised better than that. But there's just a spirit of silly in the world. So, man, you fall into that hole, and they're all down there with you. And when you come up, you look like them. Amen. Last Saturday, we had 11 youth in our program, and you know I'm very passionate about young people. You know, we don't have a lot of fruit of it in church service, but I do a lot of work with young people. And y'all know this, media camps and different things. And so I've learned how to help youth succeed, right? We got lots of youth who are grown people now who are successful because we train them to be that way. See, we know how to get kids from here to there. But they got to pay attention too, right? And people around them have to stop allowing them to be foolish. But one really, really deep revelation is, I'm feeling a little frisky today, but the devil can't cast out the devil. Let me just say it very plainly, parent. If the devil's in you, you can't get the devil out of your children. The devil can't cast. So, parent, you deal with yourself for the sake of your children. You deal with yourself for the sake of, because even a pastor in the ministry can't overcome that. See, the church can't overcome foolishness in the child that the parent keeps allowing. So we got to stand with the parents too and hold them accountable, because diligence is one of these things that it is a non-negotiable element of your development and growth in Christ, in life. There's just no way to get through anything significant without being diligent. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 says this, talking to Christian leaders, but we can all take it as advice. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So those who are preachers in context, that we must be diligent before God, that when we're dealing with the Word of God, we're not making up stuff. We're not taking a scripture here and scripture there and make up something. No, we're actually the Bible is instructing us. We're not reading into the Bible. We're reading the Bible and getting what it says in the text. And so we then divide the Word rightly. But for all of us, the message is still applicable, that we ought to work at presenting ourselves a certain way. Of course, to God, first of all, even to your employers, and so forth. Situation happened on Facebook where somebody said something real stupid. Grown people saying stupid stuff, which is, you know, kind of par for the course in some of these forums. And so then somebody got a screenshot of that statement. Screenshot, sent it to the mayor. Yeah, I work for the mayor, whoever worked for it. Police chief, and then he got not let go, but he got suspended without pay, right? And folk are like, that's wrong. He got freedom of speech. Oh, man. Yes, you got freedom of speech, but you also got something called responsibility with that speech, and your free speech can get you behind canned because the employer got free speech, too. To say, you're fired, you can take your stuff and get up out of here. Your negative spirit all on Facebook. See, so you know, let's understand that we must present ourselves diligently. There's a time to be bold and outspoken. That's what we do sometime. But don't be foolish in your speech. Amen, somebody? Amen. All right, master key. Last master key for today. Diligence releases God's rewards. Y'all say amen to that.
Amen.
Listen to scripture. Read with me if you can. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he comes to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So then the key is, diligence releases God's rewards. So if you want God to bless you, you want God to release these things to you? It's there for you. It's already there for you. But God has this requirement. He never has ever, in a long history, never has overlooked disobedience and never has failed to reward obedience. Obedience to God is the fruit of our diligence, and that diligence then releases God's rewards. Amen? Let's all stand.